The men's and women's basketball teams from Marquette University are set to play their first games in the March Madness tournament today. It's Friday, March 17th. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Bridget Bowden. Coming up, reporter Anya Van Wagtendonk answers an audience question about women in the state legislature. And we've got a story from Wisconsin Life just in time for St. Patrick's Day about Irish dancing in Wisconsin. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
A federal indictment alleges a former University of Wisconsin-Madison student made graphic online threats to students, professors, and their families. Rich Kramer has more.
A criminal complaint filed against 32-year-old Arvin Mather claims he sent emails during the past month accusing victims of being Chinese spies. They also included graphic descriptions of their children being tortured. Mather was arrested Friday at a Detroit airport. He had emailed victims that he was returning to Madison for an evening of fun. U.S. Attorney Mark Belkovic told a federal judge this week Mather claims to work for the CIA and needs to stay behind bars.
If he believes that the CIA is actually instructing him to follow through on these threats, then these people are in, their lives are in danger, their children's lives are in danger.
Mather faces 6 counts of sending online threats. If convicted, he faces a maximum of 30 years in federal prison. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
It's been just over 100 years since Wisconsin women got the right to run for office. WPR's Wisconsin was asked how many women are serving in the state legislature now and who the first female legislator was. Capitol reporter Anya Van Wagtendonk did some digging to find out.
In 1924, 3 women were elected as assemblymen. Yes, that was the official title for everyone in the assembly until 1969, when they were called representatives. Jillian Slate, an analyst at the Legislative Reference Bureau, says those early trailblazers were treated as oddities in the press.
There's a lot of attention paid to their appearance in the way that obviously was not paid to their male peers. It was often noted when they were candidates whether or not they had children.
It took several more decades for women to be elected to the state Senate and for women of color to serve at all. Today, a record-setting 41 women serve in the state legislature. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Wisconsin legislature is considering extending postpartum Medicaid coverage to a year. Under current law, Medicaid-eligible women are insured for at least 60 days after they give birth. The proposed bipartisan legislation would require the state to ask the federal government to extend the benefits for up to a year. Republican State Representative Donna Roser is a co-sponsor of the bill. She says some in her party don't want to allocate more funding to Medicaid because they see it as an extension of entitlement programs.
And because I'm pro-life, I feel that we need to support the children that we want being born instead of being aborted. And the best way to have those healthy children is to have healthy mothers.
Between 2016 and 2017, about 73% of pregnancy-related deaths in Wisconsin occurred after giving birth. A public hearing for the bill could be held this month. And Marquette University will play a starring role in March Madness, which began this week. Evan Casey has a story on the university's men's and women's basketball teams, both going into their first games in the tournament today with high expectations.
Over 100 fans and students gathered to send the teams off this week. Marquette's men's team is ranked as the 2 seed and will play the University of Vermont in Columbus. The women's team is the 9 seed and will take on the University of South Florida in South Carolina. Women's coach Megan Duffy says it's been fun to see the teams flourish, as they both had historic seasons.
It's awesome to see Marquette Nation, fans in the community, our actual, you know, student body on campus, all the people that love Marquette so much, just to have both basketball programs in an awesome spot here in March is tremendous.
The tournament will last just over 3 weeks. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up after the break, we've got a piece from Wisconsin Life celebrating St. Patrick's Day in the state. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about Irish culture for this St. Patrick's Day.
Irish dance has been booming for quite some time in Milwaukee, where there are multiple dance schools. If you're not familiar with this art form, Irish dancers typically keep their arms straight at their sides while their legs quickly leap, kick, and shuffle across the floor. Usually, St. Patrick's Day is a huge day for dancers as they travel across the area performing for people. While the pandemic has impacted their events this year, dancers and instructors have found a way to keep hopping and stepping in a safe way. So, to celebrate that dedication to the Irish culture, we're revisiting this story from 2014. Back then, my sister and I attended an Irish dance competition, known as a fesh, in Oconomowoc. We were Irish dancers when we were much younger, so it was super fun to watch the talented dancers, see how the reels and jigs have evolved, and to hear the live music. Take a listen.
Oh, a fesh? No one knows what a fesh is. A fesh is an Irish dance competition. It is craziness, but it's a competition where kids get to come and dance. We have 930 competitors. They come, they do two steps of a dance on stage. We have reels, we have jigs, we have slip jigs, hornpipes, treble jigs, sets. I am Maura Kathleen Heck, and I'm an Irish dance teacher and owner of Cashel Dennehy School of Irish Dance in Milwaukee.
It's just really fun. You get to fly, which is awesome, and I don't know, it just takes everything else that you're stressed about away, and you just get to focus on dance. My name's Siobhan McPhail. I'm 14. I dance with Kinsella Academy of Irish Dance, and I live in Milwaukee. I think it's definitely a sport because you need to have stamina and strength and flexibility and anything that any other athlete needs.
I'm Mariana Pop George. I'm 13 years old, and I dance for the Trinity Academy, Mequon, Wisconsin, or Milwaukee. I competed in the under 14 Open Championship category, and I just finished my treble jig. This dress, it's baby blue. It's a lot of white. It has a lot of accents on it that's like a Celtic design, and it's kind of like a tennis skirt style. And then my mom added some blue crystals along the sketching of the skirt and then to the bodice.
The dresses many years ago used to be more authentic, and they would actually had Irish designs on them from this book called The Book of Kells. They've evolved into more geometric shapes and bling, as everyone calls it. And the hair, I can't. There's folklore about, you know, oh, back in the days of ancient Ireland, like they all curled their hair and it, so it bounced nicely as they, you know, were dancing down the aisles and dancing at the crossroads. When I was younger, we actually had to put the little pink curlers in our hair and sleep on them overnight, and your head against a window if you're driving to a fesh in Ohio. Oh, it was so painful. And then it took, you know, an hour to uncurl them in the morning. Now they're wigs and they take 5 minutes.
I like to put the wig on the Americans. My name is Sean Beglin, and I am the owner and director of Beglin Academy of Irish Dance. Before I finished high school, I was with Riverdance part-time, which still is a big Irish dance show. I left high school and got a call 2 days later that Riverdance wanted me full-time, and my first city was Milwaukee, Wisconsin at the Riverside Theatre. We're very lucky to be in Wisconsin. What is great about this city is that in Milwaukee we have Irish dance plus Irish music plus Irish singing plus Irish language. That we have Celtic studies. There is such a bloodline of Irish running through this area of America that you can't get away from it.
Those were the voices of Irish dancers at a fesh in Oconomowoc back in 2014 in honor of St. Patrick's Day. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lola Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Bridget Bowden, in for Alex Crow. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning. You can find more news anytime at WPR.org. We'll talk to you again on Monday.